Seekers. Well, we got our snow here in Atlanta. Must be a quarter of an inch. So the whole damn metro area has come to an absolute dead standstill. It's just amazing. I guess it's because I grew up in the Midwest, where I used to walk 2 miles to school and back every day through 9 feet of snow, pulling a sled full of old people who had to be disposed of because they froze to death the night before. No, just kidding. But, yeah, a quarter of an inch, maybe. Molly had a lot of fun with it. She had her first snowball. I think it scared the hell out of her. She thought the sky was breaking in pieces and falling. But, anyway, the reason I bring it up is because we've had two power glitches here so far within the past 30 minutes. So if all of a sudden you're listening to the program tonight and it abruptly ends, it's not because it could be because the NSA decided to pull the plug, but more than likely it's because of a power glitch. This is Atlanta, Georgia. We have a quarter of an inch of snow on the ground and an outside temperature of about 28 degrees, so forget it. This is a level 4 disaster area. All sorts of stuff. Did you hear about this former Republican congressman from Michigan, Mark Siljander, has been indicted? He was also, Reagan had appointed him a delegate to the United Nations. He's been indicted as part of a terrorist fundraising ring that sent more than $130,000 to an Al-Qaeda and Taliban supporter who has threatened the U.S. and threatened international troops in Afghanistan. Oh, my God. The guy, Mark Siljander, was charged with money laundering, conspiracy, obstructing justice, lying about lobbying senators on behalf of an Islamic charity the authorities said was secretly sending funds to terrorists. And the really bizarre part of this, the Islamic organization that has been accused of being a funnel for funds to terrorism, the way they paid this former Republican congressman, they paid him $50,000, and it turns out that that money was stolen from the U.S. Agency for International Development. Siljander, who served 2 terms in the U.S. House, was appointed by Reagan to serve as a U.S. delegate to the U.N. for a year back in 1987. Don't you just love Republicans? Aren't they a lot of fun? Now, what are they going to charge this guy with? Oh, that's right, obstruction of justice. According to Bush, he is now an enemy combatant and should be sent to someplace, some black hole someplace where he can be tortured, waterboarded. But he's a Republican, so, you know. Speaking of Republicans, geez, Kay in San Francisco mentioned this, and I agree with her. She writes in... silly me, thinking I would find some reference to Huckabee's amend the Constitution to reflect God's law comment in the mainstream press this morning. There is no headline in today's New York Times, nor in any other major news outlet. When I Googled Huckabee God Constitution, I got one article from a CBS News blog with the headline, "Anybody up for Matthew 6:1?" There was no story. Only a link to the Carpetbagger Report. That was it. The only other sources featuring a headline with the words Huckabee, Amend Constitution, God's Standards were Salon.com, About.com, and a blog called Say Anything. Such language. How the blank is this possible? Can you imagine the headlines if a Muslim candidate... I know, ha ha ha. If a Muslim candidate were to announce his plans for bringing the Constitution in line with Allah's standards, you're just free with the F-bombs in this tonight, aren't you, Kay? There'd be effing open warfare from the press. Have you got that bit from Huckabee again? Can we, let's listen to this nutball, American Taliban, what's Huckabee's first name? Mike, go ahead, let her rip.
I have opponents in this race who do not want to change the Constitution. But I believe it's a lot easier to change the Constitution than it would be to change the Word of the living God. And that's what we need to do, is to amend the Constitution so it's in God's standards rather than try to change God's standards so it lines up with some contemporary view of how we treat each other and how we treat the family.
Katie's spot on. There wasn't a word. Nothing. I looked in the Times this morning, too. I looked in the Journal Constitution this morning. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Here's a guy calling for the establishment in this country of a theocratic form of government. That's what he's talking about. There's no waffling here. There's no but ifs. He's calling for theocracy. He is absolutely calling for the destruction of the U.S. Constitution and the replacement of what's left of representative government. And it's not much. It's now corporatist slop crap. But he even wants that replaced with a theocracy. And nobody in mainstream media, it didn't happen. Have you noticed that? It didn't happen. How did we get this? How did we get this little item last night? Do you know, Kathy? Where did we get this? Huh? Someone emailed it to us? It's just unbelievable. Not a word. Not a word. Now, supposing a Democratic candidate, not even a top-tier candidate, so-called top-tier, don't you like that? Supposing, I don't know, pick one. Oh, I know. How about Dennis Kucinich? Supposing he would have said, look, we've got to destroy the Constitution of the United States and replace it with God's law. What do you think would have happened? Huh? Can you see that filthy-mouthed, lard-ass pig, Rush Limbaugh, jumping all over that? Can you see that ever-growing in size Sean Hannity, who, I don't know, his drawers must be up to about a size 46 waist by now. But can you see him jumping all over? But Huckabee talks about ending the Constitution and replacing it with what Huckabee calls God's law, and there's not a peep from mainstream media. Not a peep. And how many people still believe that the process that we use to elect our leaders is open, fair, and is not being predetermined by corporate America? Huh? How many of you still believe that?
We need paper trails, Mike.
No, we don't need paper trails. We need to blow up every single machine that is used for voting or vote counting in the United States.
Oh, my God, he's talking about destroying voting machines tonight. He's advocating violence. Holy jumping Christ, he's advocating violence again. There goes that Mike Malloy.
Iraq's defense minister said his country will need military help from the United States for another 10 years. And would not be able to maintain internal security for another 5. Abdul Qadir, the Iraq defense minister, said, quote, according to our calculations and our timelines, we think that from the first quarter of 2009 until 2012, we will be able to take full control of the internal affairs of our country. In regard to the borders, regarding protection from any external threats, our calculation appears that we are not going to be able to answer to any external threats until 2018 to 2020. Oh, Lord.
Welcome to Jesus' land.
Quick break, and we'll be right back. We have a little more religious news for you. The Pope had his ass kicked out of a university in Rome. Think about that for a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Now we got freedom of religion. I reckon that means that we must tolerate the atheist and Jew. But Jesus is the man and our salvation, and every war we wage is in his name. We think his Bible should be taught in every nation, and we'll bomb anyone who doesn't feel the same.
Welcome to Jesus' land, where we all love thy neighbor if thy neighbors understand. We won't let too many Mexicans across the Rio.
Because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
Aw, are we still using that? Every time you play that, I get emails from people who are very offended by that. The Nazi Pope got run out of town last night, so to speak. Pope Benedict the 16th called off a visit to Rome's main university. And the way it's reported by The Guardian of the UK, in the face of hostility from some of its academics and students who accused him of despising science and defending the Inquisition's condemnation of Galileo. That was from the 1600s. These people don't forget stuff, do they? It's a serious story, though. The controversy was, this is unusual in a country where you don't criticize the Roman Catholic Church. You just don't, not in Italy. But anyway, the Pope had been due to speak tomorrow during ceremonies that mark the start of the academic year at La Sapienza, Rome's largest and oldest university. But the Vatican said last night it had been, quote, considered opportune to postpone, end quote, his visit. Considered opportune to postpone. I love that. What happened was about 60 of the teachers, professors at La Sapienza, and maybe, I don't know, 50, 60 students, signed a letter asking that the invitation to the Nazi Pope be rescinded. The signatories of the letter said Benedict's presence would be, quote, incongruous, end quote. They cited a speech he made at La Sapienza in 1990, while he was still a cardinal, in which he quoted the judgment of an Austrian philosopher of science who wrote that the Church's trial of Galileo was reasonable and fair. Now, when was Galileo's trial? 1620 or 30 or 1630? In that speech, Cardinal Ratzinger quoted the Austrian philosopher Paul Feyerabend as saying, quote, the church at the time was much more faithful to reason than Galileo himself, and also took into consideration the ethical and social consequences of Galileo's doctrine. Its verdict against Galileo was rational and just. Now, the letter from the students and faculty at La Sapienza said these words offend and humiliate us. Among the signatories was the physicist Professor Luciano Maiani, who was recently appointed to head Italy's main scientific research body, the Consiglio Nazionale del Ricerca. Now, the backstory, of course, is that Galileo Galilei was the Inquisition's most prominent profile or high-profile victim, and he saved his own life by recanting his view. His heliocentric view, I believe, is how they used to say it in school, that the Earth moved around the sun rather than vice versa. He was born in Pisa in 1564. He was a physicist, astronomer, mathematician. After ridiculing the views of then Pope Urban VIII in Galileo's dialogue concerning the two chief world systems, he was ordered to stand trial for heresy in 1633. The judgment found that his view of the solar system was, quote, absurd, philosophically false, and formally heretical because it is expressly contrary to Holy Scriptures, end quote. Now, who does this sound like? That sounds like Mike Huckabee. Huckabee wants to do the same thing that the papacy of Pope Urban the Eighth did in 1633, and that is to end the scientific nonsense. We have a candidate for the Republican nomination for president who would be right at home in an inquisition involving Galileo. Astonishing, isn't it? Huh? Can I get an amen? Thank you. Thank you. So anyway, the Pope will not be speaking at La Sapienza tomorrow. His office said that the visit had been, quote, considered opportune to postpone, end quote. Yeah. Oh, my God. It just never stops, you know. Huckabee, God talks to Bush and tells him who to invade. Huckabee wants to end the Constitution and establish theocracy. And the Pope and the students at La Sapienza are still dealing with the trial in 1633 of Galileo Galilei. I know, let's have some Moody Blues. This is Nova M. We'll be back in a moment.
Flying high, tell me what you see. If you could talk to me, what news would you bring? Our voices in the sky.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. It's a cold, snowy night here in the South, so I think maybe it's time for an Uncle Mike Story Corner. Gather around, children. It's time once again for Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Everybody all cozy? Got your jammies on? Nice cup of hot chocolate? All right. This story is about the United States Navy. Can you say that? United States Navy. That's pretty good. It was written by Gareth Porter. Senior Pentagon officials, evidently reflecting a broader administration policy decision, used an off-the-record Pentagon briefing to turn the January 6 U.S.-Iranian incident in the Strait of Hormuz into a sensational story demonstrating Iran's military aggressiveness. A reconstruction of the events following the incident has shown. The initial press stories of the incident, all of which can be traced to a briefing by Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs in charge of media operations, one Brian Whitman, contain similar information that has since been repudiated by the Navy itself. Then, the Navy disseminated a short video into which was spliced the audio of a phone call warning that U.S. warships would explode in a few seconds. Although it was ostensibly a Navy production, the Interpress Service has learned that the ultimate decision on its content was made by top officials of the Defense Department. The encounter between five small and apparently unarmed speedboats, each carrying a crew of 2 to 4 men and the three U.S. warships, occurred early on Saturday, January 6, Washington time. But no information was released to the public about the incident for more than 24 hours, indicating that it was not viewed initially as being very urgent. The reason for that absence of public information of the incident for more than a full day is that it was not that different from many others in the Gulf over more than a decade. That's 10 years. A Pentagon consultant who asked not to be identified told Interpress Service that he had spoken with officers who had experienced similar encounters with small Iranian boats throughout the 90s, and that such incidents are, quote, just not a major threat to the U.S. Navy by any stretch of the imagination, end quote. Just 2 weeks earlier, on December 19th, USS Whidbey Island, an amphibious warship, had fired warning shots after a small Iranian boat allegedly approached it at high speed, but that incident had gone without public notice. With the reports from the 5th Fleet Commander, Vice Admiral Kevin Cosgriff, in hand early that morning, top Pentagon officials had all day, Sunday, January 6th, to discuss what to do about the encounter in the Strait of Hormuz. The result of those discussions was a decision to play it up as a major incident. The decision came just as President George W. Bush was about to leave on a Middle East trip aimed in part at rallying Arab states to join the U.S. in an anti-Iran coalition. That decision in Washington was followed by a news release by the commander of the 5th Fleet on the incident at about 4 a.m. Washington time, January 7th. The release reported that the Iranian small boats had, quote, maneuvered aggressively in close proximity of the hopper, end quote. But it did not suggest that the Iranian boats had threatened the boats or that they had nearly resulted in firing on the Iranian boats. On the contrary, the release made the U.S. warship's handling of the incident sound almost routine. The release said, quote,
following standard procedures, Hopper issued warnings, attempted to establish communication with the small boats, and conducted evasive maneuvering. Yawn, close quote.
The release did not refer to a U.S. ship being close to firing on the Iranian boats or to a call threatening that U.S. ships would
explode in a few minutes,
as later stories would report, or to the dropping of objects into the path of a U.S. ship as a potential danger. The press release was ignored by the news media, however, because later that Monday morning, the Pentagon provided correspondents with a very different account of that episode.
At 9 a.m., Barbara Starr of CNN reported that military officials had told her that the Iranian boats had not only carried out threatening maneuvers, but had transmitted a message by radio that, I'm coming to you, and you will explode.
She reported the dramatic news that the commander of one boat was in the process of giving the order to shoot when they moved away. CBS News broadcast a similar story, adding the detail that the Iranian boats dropped boxes that could have been filled with explosives into the water. Other news outlets carried almost identical accounts of the incident. The source of this spate of stories can now be identified as Brian Whitman, the top Pentagon official in charge of media relations, who gave a press briefing for Pentagon correspondents that morning. Although Whitman did offer a few remarks on the record, most of the briefing was off the record, meaning that he could not be cited as the source. In an apparent slip-up, however, an Associated Press story that morning cited Whitman as the source for the statement that U.S. ships were about to fire when the Iranian boats turned and moved away, a part of the story that other correspondents had attributed to an unnamed Pentagon official. On January 9th, the U.S. Navy released excerpts of a video of the incident in which the strange voice, one that was clearly very different from the voice of the Iranian officer, appears to threaten the U.S. warships. A separate audio recording of that voice, which came across the VHS channel open to anyone with access to it, was spliced into a video on which the voice apparently could not be heard. That was a political decision, and Lieutenant Colonel Mark Ballesteros of the Pentagon's Public Affairs Office told Interpress Service the decision on what to include in the video was, quote,
a collaborative effort of leadership here, the Central Command of the Navy leadership in the field, end quote.
Leadership here, of course, refers to the Secretary of Defense. An official in the U.S. Navy Office of Information in Washington who asked not to be identified because of the sensitivity of the issue said that decision was made in the office of the Secretary of Defense. The decision involved a high risk of getting caught in an obvious attempt to mislead, As an official at 5th Fleet Headquarters in Bahrain told IPS, it is common knowledge among officers there that hecklers, often referred to as Filipino monkey, frequently intervene on the VHF ship-to-ship channel to make threats or rude comments. One of the popular threats made by such hecklers, according to British journalist Lewis Page, who had transited the strait with the Royal Navy, is, "Look out! I am going to hit you! By January 11th, Pentagon spokesman Jeff Morrell was already disavowing the story that Whitman had been instrumental in creating only 4 days earlier.
"No one in the military has said that the transmission emanated from those boats," said Morrell.
The other elements of the story given to Pentagon correspondents were also discredited. The commanding officer of the guided missile cruiser Port Royal, Captain David Adler, dismissed the Pentagon story that he had felt threatened by the dropping of white boxes in the water. Meeting with reporters on Monday, Captain Adler said,
"I saw them float by. They didn't look threatening to me."
The naval commanders seemed almost determined, however, to scotch the idea that they had been close to firing on the Iranians. Vice Admiral Kevin Koskrip, the commander of the 5th Fleet, denied the story in a press briefing on January 7th. And a week later, Commander Jeffrey James, commander of the destroyer Hopper, told reporters that the Iranians had moved away before we got to the point where we needed to open fire. Well, really? Do you mean? Why, yes, it's true, boys and girls. The whole story is what we in the Navy call bullshit. Another episode of Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Oh, my God. Just, let's see. I missed that. I missed seeing, in the past week, I have missed seeing Barbara Starr,
the intrepid CNN reporter for the Defense Department.
I have missed seeing Barbara Starr come on the air and say, guess what, Wolf? I was flummoxed and hornswoggled. There's no story there. Sorry. When I came on the air the other morning at 9 a.m., all breathy and my glasses steamed up to tell the American public about an almost attack by Iranian boats that might have triggered World War III, IV, I was all excited because that would have gotten me an Emmy, you know? And now it turns out to be bat squeeze, Wolf. No, I missed that. Did you see it? Did you happen to see it? Anybody see it? Anybody see Charlie at ABC or Brian at NBC or Katie at CBS? Anybody see any repudiation of that story that it was just all made up? Huh? No? Well, damn. That would mean that our crack U.S. mainstream media are a bunch of lying sons of bitches who have no problem with inciting the American public to war, right? Oh, wait a second. Oh, that's right. We did this. We did this back in 1991, didn't we? Oh, well. Oh, wait a minute. We did this back in 1964. Oh, never mind.
That fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
I am coming to you. Matt in North Plainfield, New Jersey writes in, Mike, the Huckabee comment and the lack of media attention for it kind of reminds me of the time Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia gave the FU gesture to a cameraman right after he, Scalia, came out of church. despite Scalia's gesture, got no press attention. But what did we expect from the corporate media? Theocracy and fascism mixed nicely together. Oh, God, yes. Theology and fascism. Oh, it's a perfect fit. It's peanut butter and jelly. It's cream and coffee. It's whatever, you know, come up with some more. But theocracy is fascism. And they just work so well. That's why Huckabee is saying what he's saying. That's why, who was it, Giuliani, who all of a sudden discovered that he really likes hanging out in Latino churches down in Miami the other day? I'm going to a Latino church, Iglesias de Latino, con mi esposa, esposa, whatever. Kucinich said, regarding his being disinvited to that wonderful debate the other night that went on for 2 hours, the debate in which all three of the candidates were pretty much in agreement with just about everything. Kucinich really would have been the fly in the ointment, the dog in the manger, the fart with a lump in it, had they allowed him on the stage, right? But Kucinich issued a little statement. He said, the fact of the matter is NBC is owned by General Electric. General Electric makes power plants. General Electric wants to make sure there is a place to dump the waste from their power plants. Now, of course, he was talking about nuclear waste and the now closed Yucca Mountain nuclear waste dump site northwest of Las Vegas. You see, Kucinich had joined the state of Nevada in opposing the dump. And therefore, Kucinich said, GE is trying to keep him off the air. Kucinich said, quote, now the media has become an issue in this campaign by trying to determine who should be in this debate, end quote. Kucinich has been allowed, this is on the Las Vegas Sun, Kucinich has been allowed to participate in all but one of the Democratic debates, and that was ours. He was banned from the Las Vegas debate by NBC after, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, poor showings in the Iowa and New Hampshire contest. It has nothing whatsoever to do with Yucca Mountain. And anybody who would state otherwise is a goddamn liar. That's all just a... Oh, wait a minute. This is a family newspaper? Let me take that goddamn back. My bad. Whoever would suggest otherwise is just a gosh darn liar. Has nothing to do with Yucca Mountain, GE, or nuclear waste, or anything of the sort. No. So without Kucinich there, of course, the three other contestants, is that the wrong word? Contenders, didn't differentiate themselves on Iraq policy, all said they would begin a limited withdrawal of U.S. troops, but there wasn't much discussion about it. Had Dennis been there, of course, he could have nailed that topic and a couple more to the floor. And by the way, Matt Renner, writing at Truth Out, says moderator Brian Williams twice described a segment that would allow each candidate to ask the other two a question, right? And he twice described the segment as an opportunity for the candidates to ask one question of each of their rivals. So Edwards was told to go first. And what he did, he asked Obama about his fundraising, specifically about taking campaign contributions from the health insurance industry. Edwards pointed out that Obama recently eclipsed Hillary Clinton to become the leading recipient of healthcare industry money in either party. So he asked the question, and Obama answered, yada yada, blah, 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 blah. Now, according to the Edwards campaign, Edwards planned on asking Clinton a similar question about her campaign money, but instead, Brian Williams cut him off. Brian Williams said, apparently after receiving off-camera instructions from producers, Brian Williams said, now, I've been told here in midstream, Senator Edwards, I have to take away one of your options. We apparently told the campaigns bring one question for an opponent, which now brings us to you, Senator Clinton. End quote. Now, the mistake, of course, allowed Clinton to avoid having to respond to the challenging question. She has been criticized by Edwards previously for accepting campaign contributions from lobbyists and from other donors connected to big businesses like, let me see, Rupert Murdoch. So, Edwards did not get to ask his question, even though the campaigns had been promised. But you see, that makes a good anchor. That's why Brian Williams is a good anchor. Right in the middle of the whole schmear, he could say, "Now, hold on there just a second, Senator Edwards. I have been advised that I have to take away one of your options. Just as you are about to ask Senator Clinton question here that might be embarrassing to Senator Clinton. We don't mind if you embarrass the Negro, but please don't embarrass the woman, okay?" You know, because we really want her in the Oval Office. So, given all that, Senator Edwards, sit down and shut up. Isn't it fun? Meanwhile, out in the parking lot, Dennis Kucinich is standing there saying, "You know, anybody here heard of Yucca Mountain?" All right, let's do some phone calls. The number here is, what? Look at all those empty lines. The number here is 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. What you got on your mind? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for having the courage to stick around for a second hour. Sean in Miami writes, "Mike, hate to have to fact check you, but the mainstream media has stepped up on this changing the Constitution issue that Huckabee brought up. And the mainstream media is discussing it. Hardball's David Schuster was probably the first to comment on it while covering Huckabee on the campaign. And in his reporting, he was visually disturbed by the comment, shaking his head when being questioned about his reporting. Then CNN's morning host John Roberts questioned Huckabee on it, and Huckabee tried to downplay it. And even as you were mentioning it, MSNBC's Dan Abrams brought it up in the context of the media giving him a pass because he's a, quote, likable guy, unquote. And even CNN's Glenn Beck was doing a segment on it simultaneously. Fox, CNN, MSNBC, etc., and on and on and on. So to the credit of the mainstream media, they haven't dropped the ball on this one. Sean in Miami. Sean, I got to disagree with you, pal. I don't see, I like Dan Abrams' program. I don't consider him to be mainstream. I guess I should have said mainstream news media. Glenn Beck is a freak. I mean, Glenn Beck, if Glenn Beck's mouth is full of dead babies or something, I have no idea. He's, I don't care what Glenn Beck talks about. I will take the opposite position. If he says that it's dark out right now, I'll say, no, it's broad daylight. No, Glenn Beck is just a total freak, monster, jerk-ass, so forget him. Dan Abrams, nice guy, but he doesn't. That's not mainstream news media. John Roberts, since he's been paired with the small, dark-haired girl, you know, he thought he was going to take CBS's Dan Rather's place. That's what he was groomed for, and then of course they went with the Katie Couric, and poor old John Roberts has been shell shocked ever since. Or is that post traumatic stress disorder? I guess it's the same shell shocked. God, is that a World War II term? Anyway, so no, I don't consider John Roberts on the CNN morning show to be mainstream news media either. What do they have, 600,000 viewers? Blech. Now, David Schuster on Hardball, that's another cable program. You see, Hardball is cable. CNN is cable. MSNBC is cable. The Fox is not. But Fox, who was talking about it on Fox? What do you got in here about Fox? Fox. Or is Fox cable? Is that cable too? Yeah. See, there is a difference, and I know it's hard. That's why MSNBC was able to tell Dennis Kucinich to piss off, because it's cable. And therefore, it is not subject to the same rules, believe it or not, as over-the-air broadcasting. Cable television, it's my understanding, unless it's changed, and I don't think it has, cable television does not have an FCC over-the-air broadcast license, because that's not how they broadcast. You can't watch CNN unless you have cable. You can't watch MSNBC unless you have cable. You understand what I'm saying? And MSNBC is the one that sponsored and conducted the interview the debate the other night, not NBC. And maybe that's the reason. So, Sean, I like to be fact-checked, because I don't have a fact-checker, and not here at the studio in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. So I do rely on people to fact-check me anytime you want to, and I appreciate it. But on this one, pal, I'm going to have to disagree with you, because I don't consider those outlets to be mainstream media at all. Not at all. Okay? We're still friends, all right? Okay. All right. Lillian is calling from Pembroke Pines, Florida, listening to WINZ. Pembroke Pines? Is that what it is?
That's right.
Pembroke Pines. That sounds so peaceful.
That made me laugh.
Is it peaceful?
Sometimes.
Well, that's good.
Good. I just first want to call and tell you you had company, because Keith Olbermann just let it all hang out tonight on Huckabee.
Oh, did he?
Oh, mister, did he ever. Between Keith Olbermann at 8 o'clock and then on to Mike Malloy till midnight makes my day.
I wish I could see more of it. I have to...
Oh, it was good.
I have to stand back, though, on this one and say, we did it last night!
Oh, yes, you did. You were ahead of everybody.
And we even had the sound last night. Yeah, well, I'm glad over... I figured that would be a perfect...
And one who's coming around to thinking like Keith is Dan Abram.
Yeah, he is.
He was having a hissy fit tonight.
I can usually get the first 5 minutes of Dan Abrams, because we are technically on the air then, but that's when we are getting ready for the Malloy show. We've got top of the hour news and commercials, so I usually watch about 5 minutes of Dan Abrams and I have to bail out. But I like Abrams too, very much.
Well, he wasn't as much as Keith for a long time, and now since he's back on the air, he's starting to think like Keith. And boy, the two of them tonight, I was listening to you, and when you had a break, I put the voice on my TV to listen to Dan, and Dan was having a fit. Lawrence O'Donnell, who was one of the guests, agreed with him, but then they had a guy named Tony Perkins or John Perkins or something like that, and he was fighting for Huckabee. Abrams had to shut him up and cut the piece.
Well, what do you think, Lillian, of that statement by Huckabee?
That scares me.
Yeah, it does.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
First of all, wasn't the Constitution supposed to be separation of church?
Well, you'd think, because the people who put the country together had seen what religious wars
all over the world.
Yeah, especially what they had done in Europe for the previous 300 years, so they didn't want any part of it.
The hell does that guy come from anyway?
I don't know. All right, Lillian, thanks a lot.
Well, I enjoy your show, and I enjoy your little talk before for the children.
the Uncle Mike Story Corner?
Uncle Mike,
yeah. Uncle Mike Story Corner. That's a lot of fun.
Yes.
All right, and now, where is Pembroke Pines?
15 miles south of Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, my goodness. It is peaceful. Are you on the beach?
No. I don't want to live on the beach with all the crowds. They're too young for me.
I hear you.
I'm your age. And then some. and then some. So, no, I'm in a peaceful community.
Well, I'll tell you what, Lillian, I like to be on that damn beach with all those young...
Not me.
Well, I do.
With
I like
all
to
the rock and roll and...
Oh, I love that, all right. And I like to see them girls and them...
Oh, that's old... okay. That's good for you, Mike.
That's right.
There isn't a guy out there that would turn me on.
All right, Lillian, thanks for checking in. I appreciate you. Take care, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, we'll talk again. Thanks, Lillian. Well, all right, Barry just fact-checked me. He says, I use the term shell-shocked. Barry writes in, actually, I think shell-shocked was World War I. World War II is battle fatigue. Okay. Fair enough. Josh is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on 92.1 The Mic. Hey, Josh.
Hi, how's it going, Mike?
Hey,
you know, I was listening to you talk about the debate,
yeah.
And speaking of fact-checking, I think it needs to be out there that Obama's collected more money from individuals than any of the candidates.
Individuals.
But I will say this, okay, any money from insurance companies like poison. Okay.
Yeah, and from the defense industry and from the media empires, it's all poison. The chemical industry, the energy industry. I mean, why would a candidate... Let's talk about this for a second, Josh, because this was the question that Edwards asked Obama. Why would a candidate take money from a corporate entity? What is it because okay. Is it because the candidate thinks that the corporate entity wants to see good government?
And if anybody out there believes, okay, that you can take this money and it doesn't have backlash, look at how disproportionately our budget is towards the Defense Department.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how much money we subsidize the energy and the oil companies out
sure,
there.
Sure.
You know, look at the health insurance. We're one of the wealthiest nations in the world, but we don't rank even in the top 10 for health care.
It's pretty nasty, Josh.
It's pretty sad.
I just wish Edwards could have asked that question of Senator Clinton. Josh, you got to leave there. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your call. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
You poor old son, you see it's me.
Mike Malloy Show, you are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Oh, good. Well, let's do two or three of them. 21 past the hour. Email. Hi, Mike. Claudia in Kentucky here with a burning question. How come in none of these debates do the moderators ask real in-depth stuff like, what will you do to restore habeas corpus rights? Or... how will you rein in the NSA and the illegal wiretapping activities now being routinely conducted? Or how about, do you believe that a president can ignore laws passed by Congress with the use of signing statements? And my favorite question would be, who trumps whom, the Justice Department or the executive branch? There has been absolute silence on these presidential powers issues, which worries me that those rights and precedents are gone for good. What you think, Claudia in Kentucky? Well, Claudia, don't forget the main function of television in all instances is to make us forget. Where it concerns presidential debates, quote, massive, gigantic, electrified quotes around presidential debates, Where it concerns presidential debates, the mainstream media's function, or cable television's function, is not only to make us forget, but to focus us as though we were juniors in high school. To wit, last night during the presidential debate, Brian Williams spent the better part of what, the first 20 minutes, talking about the he said, she said stuff between Hillary and Obama. Or I should say, Hillary and Barack. And Brian Williams used that first 20 minutes to say, well, you said this and you said that, and it's very racist, and what about Dr. King, and over here, and down there, and up there, and over here, and now this, now what the, and who you taking to the prom Friday night. Those are the important issues, Claudia. What did Hillary really mean when she said LBJ and MLK and the civil rights laws? What did Barack really mean when he wrote in his book that he was a drug user back in the hood? What did the commentators really mean when they said that Hillary's husband was referring to Barack as a his campaign as a, quote, fairy tale? And what do they mean by fairy? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Huh? Ha! So, Claudia, that's the reason questions like, what will you do to restore habeas corpus, is ignored. Those are not issues that the American public wants to hear about. The American public wants to hear Huckabee say, we're going to bring God's law to this filthy, degenerate, demon-riddled country. Dan is calling from Phoenix, Arizona, listening on KPHX. Hey, Dan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I just had to call because I jumped in my car, turned on the radio when you were talking about when he interrupted Edwards' question and saved Hillary.
Right.
And my wife was yelling at me because she told me I was going to have a coronary because I was yelling at the TV so loud. You know, I almost think I have to take a Valium before I watch these debates.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Chase it with some good whiskey.
I'm telling you, that's the only way I can tolerate it anymore. And I don't know why I do it to myself. I watch these cable networks, and I just must be a glutton for punishment or something, because it's just the same thing over and over, and it's just, I think it's going to get better.
I know. I know the feeling, Dan. I no longer torture myself by listening to talk radio, but I will still tune in to some of these right-wing television scream fests. And I don't know. There's kind of a I don't know what the feeling is. It's like I would imagine someone who's a self-mutilator, you know, a cutter, someone who cuts themselves. Well, there's a specific thing, you know, a cutter, someone who just slashes their arms so that they know they're alive and they can feel something. Maybe that's why I will occasionally, maybe that's why you will occasionally watch the stuff on TV. We are psychological cutters, Dan. Ooh, is that shivery?
I just wish I could be one of these people that just zone out, go into my own little world, and little state of denial and pretend everything's okay, you know, but I just can't do it. And well, I got a 5-year-old daughter who's going to grow up in this country, God forbid, and, you know, I care about what's going to happen, and sure. I guess I still have some hope. But, man, it's just every day it's getting harder and harder to hold on to any kind of hope.
Well,
people
like you and I with these little toddlers, I have a 3.5-year-old, if we don't have some shred of hope left, then we do have, or we wouldn't have these kids. So it's just a matter of making that hope change into action, I guess. Dan, thanks for checking in, all right?
Hey, thank you.
All right, sir, take care. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
Footsteps echo down the hall. No one's there at all. Stranger by the day.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
There's snow on the ground out here. I just looked outside. There must be a quarter of an inch of snow. That means Atlanta will come to an absolute stop. Or already has. There's a kind of hush all over the world right now. In a metro area of 5 million, 90% of whom came from somewhere else, a lot of them from the old Rust Belt, so surely they are familiar with snow. But when they come down here, all of a sudden, oh, I can't drive! Oh, whoops, I'm sliding! Oh my God, I just killed someone! Smash, bang! So Atlanta will come to a stop tomorrow, apparently. But it sure is pretty. Sure is pretty. Kind of lights up the woods behind our house, so where the studio is, so I can sit on the back porch with my deer rifle and pick off the NSA people who are out there lurking.
There he goes again, talking about violence!
I just can't get over this story about the Nazi Pope being tossed. Pope Ratzinger was told he cannot come to the Sapienza University and open up the academic new year because of what happened in 1633. I love it. I just love it.
The verdict against Galileo was rational and just. Galileo was a liar and an apostate, and had he not recanted and taken it all back, we would have done more than confine him to his house. We would have waterboarded him.
So the faculty and students at Sapienza University told the Nazi Pope, no, not this year, Pope. Sorry. Nah. Uh-uh. No, you got a bad rep. You defend that kind of stuff. So, nah.
Well, I have to ask, does the Nazi Pope believe that the Earth revolves around the sun?
He believes that science is a bad thing. Science is bad.
Well, so does Huckabee.
Talking snake, good. Science, bad.
But, I mean, I didn't think there was anybody stupider than that chick on The View. Certainly not the Pope.
Well, oh, the one who didn't know if the Earth is flat.
Who can say? Have you seen it? Have you walked all the way around? Who knows? I'm thinking images from space, physics.
No.
Pictures.
No.
The curve of the horizon through a telescope. No. I mean,
It doesn't say it in the Bible.
Well, she's never been to space, apparently.
It doesn't say it in the Bible. Therefore, yadda, yadda, yadda. McClatchy Newspapers, Hannah Allam, who writes for them, wraps up. She does a wrap of Bush's week-long tour of the Middle East. He left there today, leaving many Mideast political observers mystified as to the purpose of the visit. Why was he here? Mohammed Fayek, the Cairo, Egypt-based director of the nonprofit Arab Organization for Human Rights, said, quote, there is no credibility to Bush's words after what the region saw during his presidency. He went on to say the war in Iraq, the prison camp at Guantanamo, Abu Ghraib detainees, abuse scandal, all of it results in, quote, American policy threw the region off balance and destabilized it. The visit caused deep disappointment. I don't see any results, end quote. Yeah. On Tuesday, the Israeli military carried out an operation in Gaza that killed at least 18 Palestinians, including the 24-year-old son of Hamas leader Mahmoud Zahar, in the most violent day since the militant group seized control last year. Excuse me, they didn't seize control. They were voted in? Hello? Come on now. You work for McClatchy Newspapers, one of the few reputable print organizations left in America. Please, Hamas did not seize control. They were elected. Separately, a Palestinian sniper killed a young farmer from Ecuador who was working on an Israeli kibbutz near the border with Gaza. Nicholas Pelham, a Jerusalem-based senior analyst with the International Crisis Group, said skepticism on all sides is enormous. And in, remember Bush tried to jawbone, that's his terminology, tried to jawbone the Saudis. Now, come on, y'all got to give us some more oil, because if you don't give us more oil, it's going to make us not have enough money to keep paying $100 a barrel. and the response Bush got from the Saudi government? The Saudi oil minister, Ali Naimi, insisted production would increase only, quote, when the market justifies it, end quote. Bush, you're such a dumbass. You don't know what those people, why they invite you to their sword dances. I like this, though. Hannah writes, the rest of the president's trip was tightly controlled and swathed in the opulence that's a hallmark of the oil-rich Arabian Peninsula. Let me digress a minute. Why are they opulent? Why do they have opulence? That's all American dollars. A lot of it, right? That's a tax on you and me so that Bush can go over there and play with falcons. Hannah writes, Bush was feted in majestic palaces and at luxurious oases. He held a falcon during a nighttime desert picnic in the UAE. He chatted about democracy with a group of Kuwaiti women and smiled as a stream of Saudi military officers saluted him at a red carpet welcoming ceremony in Riyadh.
He was only holding the falcon to keep Cheney from shooting it.
Is that what it was? Fatima al-Wakil, who's 21, a recent university graduate who joined a small anti-Bush protest in Cairo on Monday, said, quote, we reject his visit. His hands are tainted with the blood of Palestinians and Iraqis. He's a war criminal, end quote. Security was incredibly tight at the president's destination, plural, destinations, often a great cost to the host countries and no small inconvenience to locals. The bustling UAE city of Dubai was eerily empty as authorities declared a national holiday and cleared the streets on the day Bush arrived. Eruptions, while Arab anger over the visit was largely confined to the pages of newspapers and on internet sites, modest demonstrations erupted in Bahrain, Egypt, and the Palestinian territories. Yeah, the reason our blood-soaked allies over there, we drink their blood, they drink ours, I'm talking about the Arab allies. Isn't it amazing? We have such good allies who are Arabs, but only ones to whom we pump lots and lots and lots of money, or, of course, the Egyptians, who have been good boys for a number of years now in signing the peace agreement with Israel. So we give them a couple $3 billion every year. That's the price that we pay them off. We pay the Israelis off with more than that. Plus, we give everybody in the region lots and lots and lots of weapons except the Iranians. Everybody else, you want weapons? Come here. How many you want? What do you want? You want planes? You want boats, ships? What do you want? Huh? Guns? Bombs? You want some nukes? Well, you get the nukes from Israel. We got all the others. So what do you want? What do you want? So what was the trip about? Huh? So Bush could go over there and put on one of those very, very, very gay-looking Saudi robes. Wasn't that sweet? And that dung-eating grin on Bush's face when he came out of the closet. Literally. I don't mean figuratively. I'm not meaning whatever. He came out of that closet. It was on camera. He walked out of the closet with the prince, and they're holding hands, and they both have on these incredibly gay gowns. I mean, just like, and he had that look on his face like, woo, that wasn't so bad. Matter of fact, where's the falcon? Jeez. And the sword dance. Did you see the sword dance? Was that not something? Shuffle, shuffle, jump, jump. Shuffle, shuffle, jump, jump. There's Bush in one of those lard-ass Saudi sheikhs, also dressed in one of those extremely gay robes. I mean, those robes just, I don't know. There's something about those robes. Is there not? Shuffle, shuffle, jump, jump. Where's the falcon?
I think you just want one.
I maybe. But there's Bush And again, and where was Condoleezza Rice? Yeah, she wound up in Iraq for another one of her, let me stand up here at the podium and get real butch on everybody all of a sudden because I am the Secretary of what? State, right? Okay, fair enough. So here I am, and I'm here to tell the Saudi, what minister are you? The Saudi air minister, listen, the air is improving. This is good air here. We are very pleased with what you are improving here. You know, between Bush acting just a little bit too light in the loafers and Condi doing her usual butch thing, sometimes you wonder about this administration. Why in the hell are they against gay marriage? I mean, what's up with that? It just doesn't make any sense. Not to me. But then, well, we'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Here in Washington, we're now determining the size and the shape of a package. It's not if we have a package, it's how big will the package be.
All right, enough dance fever here. Where's the Falcon? Hi-ya!
Well, we can discuss all that later, I guess. All right, back to your phone calls. Where are we here? Roger. Roger is calling from Brooklyn, New York, listening on the Internet. Hey, Roger.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. I've been a pretty long-time listener, a couple of years at least, and I kind of wanted to make light of the comment that you've been making for the past few days about, I am coming to you.
I'm coming to you.
But I like the original version with you had this scary kind of growl in your voice. It's been getting a little light lately.
I love it. When I first heard that, I just couldn't believe. I mean, I could not believe that that was put out to the American public as though it were real. That there was some kind of an Iranian suicider who would say, "I'm coming to you. You soon be exploded into million pieces," you know, or whatever the hell it was, and they actually put that out for consumption by the American public. It's astonishing.
I know. It was, like, really ridiculous.
Oh.
Like, Hollywoodish kind of, like, you know, we're going to get away with this, but not really.
It was like an old Ed Wood movie, like Plan 9 from Outer Space or something. It just, I can't believe how stupid the members of the U.S. government who put this kind of garbage out are, and B, how stupid the people who listen to that are and say, oh my God, and George Bush is going over there. Well, he's a brave man. He's got God and the baby Jesus with him, so he'll be okay. But he's a brave man. They're coming after him in boats. It's just incredible to me.
I think that they think that they have enough people, like, tricked that they can put that kind of thing out, and then most people that they're counting on to get suckered, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know what I mean? Not to say that most people are stupid, you know, but a lot of people are just glued to their television, and I guess obviously with their politics, they believe a lot of stuff that is just total garbage.
Yeah.
And, you know, something earlier that you were talking about that was really important that we had to talk about more was I noticed last night that Edwards also said about Hillary that she's receiving money directly from oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't reply or respond at all to that comment. I mean, she just basically ignored it and just went on with whatever she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that, and I noticed also that he was really hitting hard at certain points last night.
Well, and he should, because both Hillary Clinton, especially Hillary Clinton, but both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are being presented to the American public by their own words, and media are picking up on it that they are candidates of change. Well, anything would be changed from George Bush, but they are not candidates of change where it concerns the kind of change that's absolutely necessary to pull this country back from the brink, whether it's our economy, our environment, our social order, our reputation. I think both Obama and Clinton are nothing more and nothing less than corporate candidates. They understand how the game is played, and they're going to play it that way. They may be a tiny bit progressive around the edges on certain issues. They may demonstrate their progressiveness by not allowing certain things to happen, like, oh, God forbid that Roe v. Wade would be overturned, since that seems to be the touchstone for so many right-wing nutballs and left-wing progressives. So around the edges, sure. I'm sure Obama and Clinton will demonstrate something that some people might say, well, that's progressive, well, that's liberal. But the fact is, they are corporate candidates, and the fact is that Edwards is openly challenging. Now, I don't know anything about Edwards. He may have a stock portfolio that includes all kinds of oil companies and companies that make electric chairs and gas chambers. I have no idea.
Yeah, there are a few things that have come up about him that have been, you know, questionable. And he, I think, admitted to something last night that was mm-hmm. a little questionable about funding.
But I know what he's saying up front. He's not afraid to state up front that he is he's going to kick ass and take names on corporate America, and somebody's got to at some point, or let's just throw up our hands and go ahead and slide down this hideous hole into the sewer of corporatist fascism.
Isn't it terrible that we have to, like, worry about all this stuff, and we just can't have candidates who are just, you know, honest and, like, trying to do the right thing without, like, you know, behind our backs making these deals with these greedy sons of, you know, people.
I hear you.
All right, Mike. You guys are the greatest. Kathy, I mean, I love your show, and just rock on.
Thank you, Roger. I appreciate it. Take care.
You too.
All right. Bye. Good hearing from you. Take care. I just wish, you know, what he was just saying. Wouldn't it be nice to have legitimate news people, and I don't know why Brian Williams or Media Whore number one Tim Russert gets to ask questions. Why don't they? Why aren't the questionnaires political scientists? Why aren't they? How about Paul Krugman, who writes for New York Times? Let him ask some questions. Why not put somebody from the peace community on? Somebody from the American Friends Service Committee, let that person sit there and ask questions. You know, why not do that, huh?
Yeah.
Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon me now. Realize.
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Phone number here is 800-989-1480. Let's go back to your phone calls. Charles is calling from Pittsburgh, listening via the Internet. Hey, Charles.
Hi, Mike Malloy.
How you doing?
Wonderful. I've been waiting on hold to talk to you for like 2 days, so it's like, no, really, you're bad. Never mind. 2 days ago, you were talking about Ron Paul, right? I just graduated from college, and at my university, there's a huge Ron Paul thing going on. It's the scariest damn thing I've ever seen because they're all... I don't know. They're just white kids. That's all I can say. They're just the whitest white kids ever, and they flock to this guy.
I know.
It's insane. They're all racist. I know them. They're racist. They're more racist than their parents, for Christ's sake. But
well, Ron Paul, you know, I've told a couple of people, if you do just a most cursory Internet search of Ron Paul and white supremacist or racist or whatever, you're going to turn up some stuff that I don't think people want to acknowledge. Also... Ron Paul is about as ardently anti-abortion, which means he would stick his nose into the private affairs of a woman. He's right out there with a Huckabee. I don't know what the attraction of Ron Paul really is. I think this whole idea of Ayn Rand libertarianism has been so disproved as nothing but the wet dreams of selfish, greedy, nasty-ass people. Who are not willing to work collectively, who do want no part of a collective effort for anything, who are the type that say, give me mine, I've got mine, to hell with you. If you want it, go work for it. Everybody has got an equal shot, which is an absolute lie. I do not like right-wing libertarians at all, and that's what Ron Paul is.
And they really project a 20-year-old thought of a well-to-do middle-class white kid. The really scary thing is I go to a state university. The libertarians, they hate the idea of, you know, education for the state. So, I mean, they go to a state university, but they're libertarian. I don't get it.
Well, you know, a real libertarian like Ron Paul, as soon as he's got enough power together, of course, you know, he'll never be president of anything, but a libertarian philosophy would be to end state-sponsored university educations completely. There'd be no such thing as North Carolina State University. There would be the University of North Carolina, which is a private university, but no more NC State, no more Penn State, no more Michigan State, no more Georgia State, no more of the nonsense. And I don't understand why people don't understand what Ron Paul is about. This guy is a class A schmuck. He would destroy everything that this country has spent 230 years putting together. All of it. He doesn't have no libertarian has the sense to separate the bad stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I say get rid of right away. Tax breaks for oil companies. What the hell is that about? But as far as ending Social Security, ending Medicare, ending Medicaid, ending public education, ending fire departments, ending police departments, ending tax assessor's office, ending zoning laws, on and on and on and on. And yet people hang out these goddamn Ron Paul signs every place I drive. Ron Paul, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's very scary to me. I mean, and it stretches between my age through. It's really, really scary thing. That and the Huckabee thing, but that I don't even want to touch that. That's just scary
that.
Itself. Free Mumia, okay, Mike?
Yeah, sure. All right. Thanks, Charles. I appreciate
nice.
You. All right. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Take care. Free Mumia? Okay. Don't send me emails. Don't send me emails about the Mumia case. I don't. No, please don't. Don't. Thank you. Ron Paul. I don't understand. I mean, he put together a pretty good scam, though. He's collected millions and millions and millions of dollars. And what are the campaign laws? I mean, at the end of a campaign, don't you get to keep the money? Jesus God, Ron Paul. Oh, I completely agree with him on Iraq. Oh, absolutely. But as I've said on this program before, Ron Paul doesn't come at the Iraq issue from the standpoint of the murder and mayhem that's being created there. He doesn't come to his anti-Iraq war a position from the suffering of American families, the suffering of Iraqi families, the destabilization of the Middle East, the warmongering, sick attitude of George W. Bush. Ron Paul comes to his anti-war stance from the fact that he doesn't believe the United States should get involved in anything outside its borders. That's the Pat Buchanan school of thought. That would make a great ticket, wouldn't it? Paul Buchanan. There you go. We could get all the Negroes and the Jews at one fell swoop, huh? Ron Paul would take care of the Negroes and Pat Buchanan to take care of the Jews. Oh, and they'd get rid of the brown people, you know, the Mexicans and El Salvadorians and Guatemalans and all them folk. What is wrong with you, Ron Paul backers? What the hell is wrong with you? Why don't you really, really, really check out what right-wing libertarianism is about? Jesus. Maybe you already have. And you find it very appealing. Merle is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Hey, Merle.
Hey, Mike. First of all, do you remember when Bush used the word fabulous?
Fabulous.
I
seem to remember. How did he use it?
Well, I'm just working that into his little trip to Saudi Arabia with his sheikh and, you know, dressing in caftans and coming out of the closet. I mean, fabulous is... not your typical
No, word. Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. You saying fabulous is a queer word? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it has been known to be.
Really? I thought candelabra was a queer word.
Well, there must have been one of those in the closet.
Yeah, probably
but,
so.
But that's not what I called, actually.
Oh, good. I'm glad. What did you call it out here?
Well, I called about the whole Iranian issue.
Yeah.
And first of all, I think that he went over there, of course, to drum up business, you know, for his perhaps coming Iranian attack, selling weapons and, you know, talking to his buddies over there.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he went over there to drum up attack, support for his attack with the Arab countries, that went over like a pork chop at a bar mitzvah. There's nobody in the Arab world who paid any attention to him at all. Now, Ehud Olmert, the rabid right-wing leader of Israel, he thinks it's a great idea.
Yeah, we are going to bomb them.
But
well, Bush told him, you know, like, forget about the NIE.
Yeah, because Bush didn't believe it.
Yeah. But I also wanted to say that whenever there's a story, are you there?
Yeah, no, I'm gone. I'm somewhere else. Yes,
oh, okay.
I'm here. I'm
okay,
right
I
here.
Didn't hear anything.
No, I'm right
Whenever
here.
Whenever there's a story, yeah. Everything is alleged. You know, this is alleged, etc.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
With this story, with the Iranian boats, it was a fact. CNN reported it as a fact.
Yeah.
And you know, every time I heard the story, it was a fact, and it just killed me. You know, they just buy into this stuff.
Oh, I know. And I'm waiting, aren't you, waiting for Barbara Starr to come on CNN and say, guess what, Wolf, I got it wrong.
Oh, yeah, she'll say that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. It's not.
No, I don't think so. Okay, Mike, this was a fabulous conversation.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Merlin? No, not Merlin, Merle.
Merle, right.
All right, thanks, Merle. I appreciate
okay.
I appreciate you checking in. Merlin. All right, we'll be back after the break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
You can always depend on propaganda. Life is so complex, so confusing. Everyone's just trying to make ends meet. You can brighten up their day, keep the facts out of their way. Just simplify the complex. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Propaganda, propaganda. If you need to change the subject, it's a dandy.
If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off a log. It's so easy with propagandy, propagandy, propagandy. Try and convince the folks the beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they've seen with their own eyes. It's amazing, propagandy.
And when Americans learn to speak a language, learn to speak Arabic, those in the Arabic regional say, gosh, America's interested in us. They care enough to learn how we speak.
Homegirl. 21 past the hour. I don't know. When I was watching the Bush and the Sheikhs the other day and the sword thing, you know, I kept thinking of Alicia Bridges. I liked a boogie. Bush coming out of that little room back there dressed in that just utterly gay robe. That was just almost too much for words. I could just see Laura Pickles just sitting there going, oh, God, quick, give me a cigarette. Ron in Briarwood writes, regarding the ideal debate questioners that we were mentioning last segment. Ron writes, Mike, can you imagine ever hearing the following introduction? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the debate among the Republican candidates. Tonight's questioners will be Greg Palast, Seymour Hersh, and Scott Ritter. Yeah. All right, back to your phone calls. Where are we here? Joe is calling from Bristol, PA, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Just got out of night school.
Oh, so, yeah? What are you taking?
Yeah. I'm taking manufacturing engineering.
What kind?
Manufacturing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm trying to... I want to start my own machine shop when I get older, you know? Once I get some money, that's if I can get some... bank loans, because I don't have a rich daddy to finance me. So
now you want to open your own machine shop, making what?
I want to work with compressors. I want to try to make them more efficient, you know.
Yeah.
But like for oil companies and stuff like that. But
can you put a little device in them that will detonate after they've been in use for about, I don't know, a month? I sell a lot of them, but, you know, then the little bastards will just go, boom!
Oh, man, there you go about talking about being violent and stuff again.
Yeah, I know. There I go again. I know. I'm sorry. I can't control it. I just can't control it.
It's all right.
Okay.
What did I want to talk about? Oh, I wanted to talk about...
Huckabee.
You know, Huckabee, like, I mean, come on, like, I'm, like, a full-blown atheist like you, and I cannot stand, like, religion at all, like, the way it's, like, it controls people and makes people do certain things, like,
yeah, yeah.
You ever read that book by Richard Dawkins called, what's it called, The God Delusion?
I haven't read that one yet. I really like The Blind Watchman.
I haven't read that one. I started a watch.
The Watchmaker. I'm sorry, not The Watchman. The Watchman is, never mind, whole different. But Blind Watchmaker is a good one, too. But that's more about evolution than it is about atheism. But anyway.
But, like, I don't know. I just, anymore, like, I wish it, like, they could just abolish religion. But I just, like, don't see that happening within the next, you know, million years, you know.
Well, I don't think that would even ever have a chance, Joe, of, you know, abolishing, that's like abolishing, you know, nuclear weapons. I mean, how are you going to do that?
Foreign oil.
Yeah, or oil, which you're going to build compressors for, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, Joe, like, you know, man, like, that's pretty, you know, weird, don't you think?
Yeah, I know.
Huh?
But,
That's like I have a brother. I have a brother, and this is the truth, who back in the 80s worked on the guidance system for the MX missile during the battle Reagan years. And, you know, I couldn't quite get my mind around the idea that I had a family member who was working on the targeting aspect of a weapon of mass destruction. It used to just, I don't know, it was pretty weird. But anyway, life goes on.
Yeah, that is pretty weird.
All right, well, but, listen, study well, do good, Joe, and, you know, you may wind up making compressors for something not related to oil. Who knows?
Yeah, I hope so.
Right?
All right.
Hey, listen, good to hear from you. How did you find out about this program?
I've been listening to you for probably a year now. I heard about you from Lynn Samuel.
Oh, okay. All right. So part of the Sirius family.
Yeah, I love Sirius Satellite Radio. I'll never cancel my subscription, you know.
Good. Just
as long as you're on there.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you. Listen, I hope to hear from you again, okay?
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right, pal. See ya. Take care. Take care. XM Satellite Radio. We have some of their listeners, too, like Barbara, who is calling from Philadelphia. Barbara, listening on XM. Hi.
Hi there. You were mentioning the...
Wait a second, Barbara. Guess what? I took your call just as we have to go to a break. Will you stay right there? All right? Don't go away. We'll get you as soon as we come back. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy.
We tend to forget. I mean, in ours is a society where things are like instant, so therefore history almost is like so far back it doesn't count.
We believe.
So far back it doesn't count. Jesus, who can say something like that? I mean, you can't get a ninth grader to say something like that.
Well, if you're a Miss Teen America candidate from South Carolina, maybe.
Have you still got that piece of sound?
From her?
From that poor...
And such?
Young lady, and such, as such. You still have that?
I took pity on the poor child and erased the file. She'll be tortured by that. But she, you know, she could be a great first lady someday, or president.
George in Seattle writes, Mike, here's what the Republicans are passing off as their presidential candidates for 2008. One guy is a Christian Taliban. Another is wearing magic underwear. Another wants to bomb Iran and stay in Iraq for 100 years. And one guy wants to start World War III as soon as possible, while another believes in 40 acres and a mule. I don't believe in God, but I would if it would save us from these freaks. George. It's hardly the Christian attitude. And William in Hollywood writes, the subject line, since the public is probed and poked and spied on, then wouldn't it at least be fair to connect the presidential hopefuls up to a lie detector, one of those big ones used in the old TV show to tell the truth with the big dial on the meter? If complete fools like Tim Russet Potato get to ask the questions, then it seems only fair that he is connected to electronic shock wires for asking simplistic questions. It could become an entirely new reality show. William from Hollywood. All right, William, I realize there's a writer's strike out there, but, you know. Big wires? Now, I remember that big truth-o-meter from To Tell the Truth. Oh, my God. Back to your phone calls. Who do we have here? Who's next in the barrel? Ah, yes. Mike is calling from Cleveland, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hey, Mike.
Is this Mike Malloy?
Let me check. Hold on. Is this Mike Malloy? Yeah, this is Mike Malloy.
I apologize. I didn't recognize the cut-in.
No, that's okay. Your name's Mike, too, right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Really good.
Good, good.
I was the first time I'd heard that Huckleby soundbite was on your show last night. I appreciated you playing it multiple times.
You want to hear it again? You want to hear it again? Let's.
Why don't you let me say what I'm going to say and then play it again and see if we can recognize what I'm going to suggest.
Okay.
I love staged audience responses, guys, this natural audience responses. It's almost like a little conspiracy.
Yeah, it is.
What he was saying last night, Mr. Huckleby, was so personally nuanced that, and the audience was so young, that you could tell they weren't sure when to start applauding. And
was that a young audience, really? I didn't see the video. That was a young audience?
No, you had commented on the cheering that you heard, and the sound, the frequencies of the cheers that I heard sounded like young people.
Okay.
So that's what I based that on. But I'm just being clever with that by just suggesting that the audience might not have even been able to understand what he was saying, and young people don't tend to follow those religious nuances as much as older people do, except for the, meat and potato stuff. And if you listen closely, you can tell, at least I could, and since you played it multiple times, I was pretty sure that you can tell the audience prematurely starts cheering, and it's a kind of half-hearted cheer, and then you can hear in the background somebody say, now. And as soon as he does that, the crowd just goes berserk, and it sounds like a bunch of young kids at a prep rally waiting for their cue.
All right, well, let's listen. You got it queued up there? All right, let's listen. Go ahead.
I have opponents in this race who do not want to change the Constitution. But I believe it's a lot easier to change the Constitution than it would be to change the Word of the living God. And that's what we need to do, is to amend the Constitution so it's in God's standards rather than try to change God's standards so it lines up with some contemporary view of how we treat each other and how we treat the family.
Yeah, I heard it. I heard it. Now that you pointed it out, yeah, I heard that. And they do sound like kids. And it definitely sounded like somebody said, now!
And the only thing scary about that is what he's suggesting is so potently against what I think our contemporary founders had in mind for the guidepost for our country.
Really?
That for him to be able to just spill all over that original intention and have an audience go along with it without possibly really understanding what he's saying, that's scary stuff.
it's just like I swear it's very tiresome to a lot of my listeners when I continue to make this analogy, but it's so reminiscent to me, and I don't speak German, of the old audio tapes I've heard of Hitler before he was chancellor, when he would address the crowds, and it would get the same kind of response. And again, I've seen some old Leni Riefenstahl films with English subtitles, so I can understand what Hitler was saying, because there it is in English. But the Hitler youth, the Nazi youth, the same kind of fervent response, only they weren't talking about God's law; they were talking about kill the Jews. And there is just the similarities, and I know it's tiresome for me to keep drawing these comparisons, but the similarities between Huckabee and some of these other people and the speeches of Herr Hitler are just, and the audience reactions are just so glaringly there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, well, Mike, thanks a lot for checking. Oh, by the way, I want to ask you, you're listening on XM. How did you hear about the program, this program?
You used to be on Air America, and then you kind of,
got fired.
Yeah, it was pretty abrupt. And then when all of a sudden that 10 o'clock, that evening slot, you could tell for XM, they were juggling it around. And I'm glad that they settled with you. So you
heard that we were on XM, how?
Just because I listen to Air America, and that, after Tom Hartman's slot's been kind of being played around by XM, And and then all of a sudden I heard you one night, and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, he's back. And, yeah, and I heard that Nova M thing, so I hope that has more success.
I think it's going to. I really do. All right, well, Mike, call in again. Appreciate you checking in, okay?
Good man.
All right, take care. Take care. Next would be Tony in Atlanta, also listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Mike. What's what's up tonight?
It's snow, man. You're in Atlanta?
I'm in Atlanta, but, you know, it's turned to rain, so this is all
it has?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't. Well, not out here. We don't live in Atlanta. We live out in the boonies a bit. It's still snowing.
Well, I live in Midtown, and it's kind of rain right now.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it's not going to materialize. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. I was looking to you live in Midtown. I was going to go to Piedmont Park tomorrow and sled down the hill, but there's no snow, huh?
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be all rain and slush by morning. If there's any snow left, I doubt it very much.
Typical Atlanta, but that's not why you really called in.
No, I was laughing. You know, I'm reflecting on Mike Huckabee, like Huckleberry Hound.
Yes,
I think he is the reductio ad absurdum for the Republican candidates. I've been following the Republicans since the 1970s in the South, particularly when they were dominated by the racists that were disaffected by civil rights and the religious nutcases. And this, you know, if it weren't so humorous, I'd be crying. But it's humor. It's more humorous than it is sad to me.
Yeah,
to watch this cross-eyed Baptist preacher be espousing this antediluvian stuff.
I know it's funny, and here's the thing that gets me: you get somebody like Huckabee. Now, black preachers have much more control. You get a white preacher who starts to roll with that southern preaching from the pulpit thing, and if they start getting amens and or applause, they start to really rock out. And that's what happened to Huckabee. Every time I play that sound bite, you know, he's kind of cruising along in fourth gear until the audience starts to pump up behind him, and then he gets into that let's have God's constitution.
Oh, yeah.
And he really starts to rock, and I'm just waiting for him to say something like this: and I believe that that we should take that constitution and amend constitution and change it around and then we're going to reach into that bag of snakes and we're going to reach in there and I'm going to pull out a serpent and then we're going to drink some of that lye water. You know, and I just...
Oh,
wish,
Jesus, Mike.
I'm
sorry. I'm laughing because I hope your listeners can relate as well as I do.
But I wish that would happen. I wish that would happen one time with some of these religious freaks. I mean, they get on the Dean scream, you know, because he said, now on to Mississippi, on to Alabama, on to New Orleans, on to wherever the hell he was talking about. And they made such a big deal about it. But get one of these white preachers up there with that, reach into the bag, bring out one of them snakes, you know, oh my God. Hey, listen, Tony.
And to think that he is being portrayed as a serious contender for the Republican nomination.
Well, that's the thing. And you know the irony? He is. Thanks, Tony. I appreciate you checking in, pal. All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
I've been drinking gin like never before. I feel so good that I want you to know.
Ten before the hour. All right, in response to a rapidly diminishing number of requests, here we go.
Recent polls have
have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Recent polls have shown...
No, not again. Thanks to the crew for the program tonight, engineered by Ian Huff in Phoenix at KPHX, our flagship station. Billy Foster, our... operations man. What does Billy do? Oh, he's the technical director. That's right. I know he's got an important job here. Our senior correspondent is Chris in Minnesota, and our executive producer here is Kathy Bay. Thanks to everybody. Back to phone calls. Barbara is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic, 92.1. Hi, Barbara.
Hello. I just wanted to call in and say that maybe I didn't see much of the news in the last couple of days, but I understand that Robert Wexler went to bat for all of us who want impeachment.
Yeah, he's done a couple of things, not the least of which is he set up a website that had a petition, and he was looking for people to sign. And I don't know how many tens of thousands of signatures he got, but I also understand that either tonight or last night he delivered a speech on the floor of the House until Nancy Pelosi cut him off.
Yep, that was last night.
Was that last
night? And he presented the petition that had 200,000 signatures on it.
Yeah, how about that?
I believe he's
asking the House Judiciary Committee, whose job this is, to start acting on Dennis Kucinich's filing of articles of impeachment against Cheney.
Right, and he sent a letter to John Conyers and all the people on the Judiciary Committee telling them to get it back onto the floor, that the investigation needs to start now.
How successful do you think he's going to be?
To me, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter that that we know that we're doing what is right. And he's, really pushing it forward. So is Tammy Baldwin, and Dennis Kucinich did his part, and also Luis Gutierrez. They're doing the right thing, which is holding people accountable.
Yes, it is the right thing, but how accountable? See, there's a process that without following the process, nothing's going to happen. Where it concerns impeachment hearings, that's even before articles of impeachment are drawn. You have to have hearings, and the hearings have to arise in the House Judiciary Committee, and they have to come at the order of the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, which in this case is who? John Conyers, isn't it John Conyers?
Right. And I think that John Conyers needs to hear from all of the people who believe that impeachment is something that needs to happen.
Well, Conyers will take a look at a petition, online petition signed by 200,000 people, and I'm sure he will find it noteworthy and interesting, but I don't think that is going to inspire Conyers. If it were 20 million signatures, then Conyers might feel that he had enough cover to go ahead and do it. I'm not trying to be a cynic here, Barbara, but in the first place, it's not up to an online petition to get members of Congress to fulfill their constitutional duties, or it shouldn't be.
Well, something has to get them to, because, I really...
Well, I think the thing that should get them to is a threat from their constituents that they will not be returned to Washington, D.C. when the next election comes up unless they do follow their obligations under the Constitution. If 200,000 people would sign the petition from John Conyers' district, that would motivate him.
Well, hopefully some people in his district are listening.
Well,
and maybe they'll start a petition.
Let's hope. Barbara, thanks for checking in.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, I appreciate it. You take care. Titus is calling from Tupelo, Mississippi, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Titus.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right.
I'm a preacher. I preach in Tupelo at Unity Fellowship Baptist Church.
Yeah?
And I listened to what Mike Huckabee said. I thought he lost his mind. Because the first thing about Christianity that people don't understand, the first thing that God does is he gives us all free will.
Yeah.
You choose which way you go.
Now, wait a minute.
You know what I'm saying?
You're a preacher?
Yes. I get into a lot of debates at home about this situation.
Yeah.
God does not force anybody to accept him. He gives us all free will.
Yeah.
And I hear a lot of preachers say a lot of stuff that ain't biblical. It ain't scripture. You know, and they say it anyway just because they want it. It's just like what you were saying about this, when they go, and all that. I don't see Jesus standing on a mountain preaching like that. I'm sure he wanted everybody to understand each and every word that proceeded out of his mouth.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I had a preacher tell me once, he said that the word is from God, but the whoop, that's what we call it down south, is from me. I told him, I said, well, leave your part off. I believe I remain saved if you just leave your part off.
Hey, Titus, I got to go. I hope you call in again. Take care. Behave yourself, all right?
All right.
Thanks,
buddy.
Titus. I bet Titus can preach. I just have a feeling he could really put one of those sermons out there that gets the amen corner just climbing up the chandeliers, you know? Thanks for participating in the program tonight. I do appreciate it. I'll see you all tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.